Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today we're gonna we're gonna be looking at the idea of faithfulness, or to be more precise, the lack of it, through Hosea chapter 13. And joining us, we have a lecture from Dr. John Oswald. He's a pretty amazing biblical scholar.
Yeah, his insights are really something. You'll see how he connects, you know, these ancient scriptures to stuff we deal with today. It's pretty eye opening.
So to kick things off, Dr. Oswald dives right into the story of Ephraim, a tribe that was, like, super influential in Israel. They were top dog, you know?
Yeah, total rock stars. Everyone wanted to be like them, listen to them. But then, well, things kind of went south.
Yeah, it's like, what happened? How'd they go from heroes to, well, zeros?
Right. And that's where Dr. Oswald comes in. He suggests that, get this, their success might have been what tripped them up. Like, they became so successful, so self-sufficient, they ended up turning to Baal worship.
Baal. Now, for those of us who, you know, didn't grow up with this stuff, who's Baal?
Well, he was kind of a big deal back then, especially in a place that needed rain. Baal was this storm god. But the point is, when people feel like they have it all, they don't need any help, they start thinking, eh, who needs God?
It's like, when things are good, it's easy to forget who to thank. You know, we take credit for our smarts, our hard work, our achievements.
Exactly. And Dr. Oswald takes it a step further, connecting this old story to what we see now. Like, people ditching church, saying faith's irrelevant. It's not always about losing faith, but thinking they don't need it.
Right, right. It's like they've graduated from believing.
Yeah. And he even tells this story about a professor who, you know, got swamped in grad school and just decided to, like, put his faith in a drawer. Years later, when he needed it, gone, vanished.
Whoa, poof. Like it never existed. It's crazy how easily we can just, you know, drift away from faith thinking, I'm good, I got this.
And that brings us to this other fascinating thing Dr. Oswald says. You know, he says idolatry isn't just about statues and stuff. We make idols out of ideas, systems, things we put above God.
Like what? Give us an example.
Well, think about things we pour all our time, energy, resources into. Money, careers, politics, even, and this is wild, a baseball player. He talks about a Japanese player who signed a contract for like $700 million. It makes you wonder, what are we really worshiping?
We're building these golden calves without even realizing it. And it's interesting, Dr. Oswald highlights this contrast in the text, right? He points out all the hustle and bustle around these idols, and then bam, this emptiness.
Yeah, it's like we chase fulfillment in things that can't deliver, and then we're left empty, unsatisfied, wondering, was it worth it? And in that emptiness, he asks a huge question, why serve God?
And he doesn't hesitate to call out the wrong answer, does he? It's not about serving God for what we can get out of it, like a transaction, you know?
Nope, not at all. He uses Israel as an example. God provided for them, they got comfy, and boom, they forgot about him. It's a cycle we see everywhere, even in our own lives. We get comfortable, achieve some success, and poof, we forget the source. We start thinking we did it all ourselves.
That's where gratitude comes in, right? Being thankful. But Dr. Oswald says something interesting about how gratitude is expressed in the Bible.
He says it's less about thanking God for the things he gives us and more about thanking him for who he is.
So it was less about thanks for the promotion, God, and more about thank you for being so good and loving and faithful.
You got it. It's about recognizing his character, how he impacts us, not just what we get. But that's a tough one, right? In a world that's all about me, 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 it's easy to fall into that I earned this trap.
Yeah, but Dr. Oswald reminds us we didn't do it all on our own. And this is where things get, well, intense. He uses some pretty heavy imagery. God is a lion, a leopard, even a mama bear whose cubs have been taken. It's all about God responding to Israel's unfaithfulness.
Oh, yeah, and that's where we usually stumble. We hear wrath of God, and we picture this angry, vengeful God punishing everyone. But Dr. Oswald offers another take.
He says God's wrath isn't about punishment in the way we usually think about it. It's more about letting us experience the natural consequences of our choices.
Exactly. It's not God inflicting pain, but letting us reap what we sow. You know, actions have consequences.
So it's less about God keeping score and more about him letting us experience reality. Like, play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Haha, yeah. And that brings us to trust. Dr. Oswald talks about how when we trust God, we become more trustworthy ourselves.
Interesting. How so?
Well, he uses the story of Abraham and Lot, you know. Two very different responses to God's guidance.
Yeah, Abraham, even when it didn't make sense, trusted God and was blessed. Lot, he went for what seemed best at the time, and, well, let's just say it didn't end well for him. Makes you think, huh, do we trust God even when it's tough? Doesn't make sense. Or do we go for the easy way out, even if it leads us astray? And it feels like Dr. Oswald keeps circling back to this idea of trust, you know?
You're right. It's like the foundation for everything else he's saying. And he's clear that trusting God isn't just blind faith.
It's more than just closing your eyes and hoping for the best.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that he's got our back, even when we can't see the whole picture. We got to let go of control and let ourselves be guided by, Well, something bigger than us.
It's tough, though, letting go of control, right? We like to plan, predict, make sure everything goes our way.
Oh, absolutely. But what about when things go sideways? When our plans blow up? Dr. Oswalt suggests that's when that deep trust in God kicks in.
So in those moments of doubt, when we feel lost, that's when we lean into faith.
Yeah, we surrender to God's will. And get this, when we do that, something amazing happens. Dr. Oswalt says we become more trustworthy ourselves.
Whoa, hold on. So trusting God makes us more trustworthy.
Right. Like it's contagious, spills over into our relationships, our communities, everything. It's not just personal with God. It affects how we treat others.
Now, that's an interesting thought. And speaking of how we treat others, Dr. Oswalt brings up something super relevant today. Our expectations of political leaders.
Yeah, he says when we look to the government to fix everything, to take care of us, we're setting them up to fail.
Because no matter how good they are, they're still human, right?
Exactly. They can't possibly handle that kind of pressure, but we put them on this pedestal, expect them to be our saviors.
It's like we're making idols out of them, putting all our eggs in their basket. And when they mess up, we're crushed, angry.
It's a vicious cycle, and Dr. Oswalt wants us to break free. Instead of putting all our faith in human systems, we need to turn to something bigger, something that lasts.
Back to that trust thing again.
Right. Real security, real hope comes from trusting God.
It's a powerful message, especially now when everything feels so chaotic. We don't have to get swept up in all the craziness. We can find peace in something deeper.
It's like he's offering an anchor in a storm, and that anchor is God's faithfulness. No matter how crazy things get, we have this solid ground to stand on.
But what about when we screw up, when we stray from that trust?
Dr. Oswalt says there's always a way back. He talks about repentance. No matter how far we've wandered, we can turn back to God.
It's never too late to change direction, to get back on track.
Never. And he digs into this really powerful passage, Hosea 13.14. Dr. Oswalt suggests these lines are actually questions God is asking. Like, shall I deliver these people from death? Shall I redeem them?
It's like God is pleading with Israel, saying, do you really want to be saved? Would you let go of your idols and come back to me?
And it's amazing how Dr. Oswalt connects this to the New Testament. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, quotes part of that verse, but in a totally different context, he's talking about the resurrection of Christ.
So it's like Paul takes that original question, that challenge, and turns it into this victory cry.
Yeah, it's like he's saying, because Jesus rose from the dead, death doesn't win anymore. We're redeemed. We're free.
Wow, that's a powerful image. Turning a passage about judgment into a message of hope and salvation. Even when things seem darkest, there's this incredible light shining through.
And that light is Jesus.
He's the ultimate answer to faithfulness, isn't he? He stayed true even to death. And through his sacrifice, we can have real life, real freedom, a real relationship with God.
That's the big takeaway, right? It's not about rules or trying to earn God's favor. It's about trusting the one who already did it all, the one who's always faithful.
It's about surrendering to him, letting his love change us. And then we become like little reflections of his faithfulness in the world. Little beacons of hope.
We live a life of gratitude, not for the stuff we get, but just who he is. And that's where real joy comes from, real purpose, a life that matters.
Now, I know we're running out of time, but Dr. Oswalt shares this one story I can't let go of.
The one about standing on that ridge in Israel, right?
Yes, he's standing there looking out over this barren, rocky landscape. And it takes him back to that story of Abraham and Lot. Abraham, the leader, lets Lot choose first. And Lot, well, he goes for the good stuff, the Jordan Valley, all lush and fertile. Leaves Abraham with, well, not much, this rocky ridge. And Dr. Oswalt points out, down in that valley, nice and balmy, 74 degrees, but up on that ridge, brrr, freezing. Makes you wonder if Lot was a bit too focused on the now, you know, the quick payoff.
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in that, isn't it? We see the easy path, the comfortable choice, and we jump right in. Like Lot, we go for the valley, even if it might not be the best in the long run.
And Abraham, well, he trusted God, chose that windswept ridge, knowing it wasn't going to be easy. But he was standing on solid ground. And that solid ground, as Dr. Oswalt puts it, is God's faithfulness. He even says, and this really stuck with me, better the rocks from the hand of God than the grass that you grab for yourself.
Wow, yeah, that's powerful. Rocks might seem rough, but they represent something that lasts, something strong. And that's what God offers, right? A foundation that won't crumble. Faithfulness that won't let you down, even when the world feels like it's falling apart.
It's like real security doesn't come from chasing worldly success, but from following God's plan, even when it's hard, when it doesn't make sense. So as we wrap up this deep dive into faithfulness, I think Dr. Oswalt leaves us with this challenge. He asks, and I think it's worth thinking about, if we really took this idea of faithfulness seriously, what idols would we need to let go of? And what would it look like to truly trust in something bigger than ourselves?
That's a big question. It makes you stop and look at your life, doesn't it? What are you holding on to that might be holding you back? It's like a call to step out in faith, to trust a God who loves us no matter what and wants the best for us.
So as we finish up here, we leave you with that challenge. What are your fertile valleys? What idols do you need to let go of? And are you willing to embrace the rocks? That tough but ultimately fulfilling path of faithfulness. It's a question worth wrestling with, and we think the journey is definitely worth taking. Until next time, deep divers, keep diving.
Keep seeking.